How do we walk in the light, and why does it matter? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for tuning in to the show. We're currently in a series called The Six Secrets of the Christian Life. Now, I know that sounds a little bit mysterious, but this series is anything but mystery. It's actually all practical. We're looking at six very practical ways to live the Christian life, and I know that you're going to benefit from everything that's in this series. So, let's go right to the discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning into the show. We are doing our series on the six secrets of the Christian life based on this very short, very handy book by Zane Hodges. And as I understand it, these very short chapters grew out of a very down-to-earth pastoral conversation that he had with a man who was kind of struggling with pastoral ministry, wondering if he should leave, I think.
Right. A friend of Zane's was going through some concerns, and Zane said, I'll walk you through it. And so over the course of months of talking, he helped him, and it energized his Christian life, and it ultimately became this book or booklet, Six Secrets of the Christian Life.
And knowing these principles, you call them secrets, you can call them principles, really can help people energize their life because, as we've said before, if you're pursuing a legalistic, works-based spirituality, you're going to burn out. You're going to get tired and depressed and develop anxiety, and you're going to always realize that you can't do things in your own strength. And you might just get tired of the Christian life or tired of your ministry and want to just walk away.
Right. It seems to me there's a fine line between all these things we're saying because, you know, we've talked about the fact that it's not in our own strength. It's not by determination. It's not by self-effort. But yet, there is something about us living the Christian life, and there is active involvement to be had. And so it's kind of tricky, and I think Zane Hodges has done a good job of touching all the bases. That's why he doesn't say there's one principle or two principles. But bringing in all six of these principles shows that there are aspects of it, and one we're going to look at today has to do with the light, that brings into account, I think, a more total view from the scriptures. We can't just pick one little thing and say, okay, don't try, rely.
Right.
Or just really want it, or just have a right motivation or whatever. It's a combination of things.
Right. If we could summarize what we've said so far, I mean, for people who haven't heard the series or they're hearing this for the first time, you can hear previous episodes at our website, faithalone.org, or on iTunes. But here's how I'd summarize it. This is a sanctification process that is very word-centered. It's very scripture-centered.
Right.
The primary agent in our sanctification is the Holy Spirit using the scriptures to transform us as we look at the scriptures.
Correct.
God is the primary agent. That doesn't eliminate us. That doesn't eliminate our role in it because we've said before that we need to be in the scriptures in order to be transformed by them.
That's right.
I mean, you need to hear it. You need to read it. You need to be in a church or an environment or a group where you're being taught the scriptures. And in that way, you're beholding the light of the Lord, the glory of the Lord that transforms you. Now, in this chapter, this is chapter 4. It's called Living in the Light. We're going to talk about a different aspect of this walk, a different principle. The main quotation here is from 1 John chapter 1, 6 and 7. Do you mind if I read it?
Yeah, before you do, I might point out that Zane Hodges started with something from Paul, Romans chapter 8, verses 10 through 13. Then he went to 2 Corinthians 3:18, more Paul. So he's got Paul in Romans, Paul in 2 Corinthians.
Right.
Then he went to the Apostle James,
right,
the half-brother of the Lord, and he went to James chapter 1, verses 22 to 24. Well, now he's going to another apostle, the Apostle John. Another thing I like about this book, it's not just sticking with, okay, everything we're going to look at is in John, or everything is in Paul, or everything is in James. But he's looking at several different apostles and seeing how this theme is developed. So,
right.
Yeah, go
Very
ahead.
Interesting. So, now this is from John, 1 John. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And so it looks like Zane wants to concentrate here on this idea of fellowship in the light. The English word fellowship, he says it's a little bit squishy, and he explains what the Greek word means.
Right. The Greek word koinonia has to do with sharing, and Hodges points it out. And in fact, our word coin comes from koinonia, because coin is that which is common, which is held in common. It's our common currency, our common medium of exchange. Koine Greek was the common Greek of the first century.
Mm-hmm.
And so we call it Koine Greek. And in Koine Greek, koinonia means having something in common, sharing something. He says in 1 John 1, 6 and 7, this sharing is a sharing of the light itself. In other words, God's not going to share the darkness with us.
Right.
If we're walking in darkness and we claim to be sharing fellowship with God, having fellowship with God, that's a false claim. In fact, 1:6, 1:8, 1:10 all start out with "if we say," and they're all false claims.
Mm.
So the first false claim is chapter 1 and verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice or do the truth. If we're walking in the sphere of darkness, away from God's revelation, we're not in fellowship with God.
Yeah, well, let's unpack that. So we're talking about an ongoing experience, first of all. Fellowship now is being used as a term to describe the possibility of the Christian life. You've believed in Jesus for eternal life, and now the question is, are you going to have this experience of fellowship with God? That's not a salvation issue. This is a sanctification, spiritual maturity issue.
Right.
So he's describing it as a type of sharing, as a fellowship, as something that's common between you and God.
Right. And for those who've read the Gospel of John and the Epistles of John, John likes to use polar opposites. So he likes to talk about life and death. Here, he's talking about light and darkness. Darkness is the sphere of Satan. It's not the sphere of God. And so to abide in that area, that realm of darkness, you're not in fellowship with God. But the light, God is light. And if we are in the light, then we are in fellowship with God. And although it's a bit mystical in one sense, The basic point is pretty clear. As long as we're setting under the light of God's revelation, the light of God's truth, and we're living in light of that, well, then we're sharing with God the light, and we're in fellowship with God.
So what does walking in the light mean? Does that mean you have to be sinlessly perfect? You have to follow every single command, and otherwise you're in the darkness? Or what is that?
That's a good point. Hodges points out that it doesn't say walking according to the light, but walking in the light. Walking according to the light would imply you were living sinlessly. To walk in the light is not a sinless experience, because after all, John's going to go on in 1 John 1:9 and say, if we confess our sins. Or 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's interesting, the basis of having his blood, the blood of Christ cleansing us from all sin, requires that we are walking in the light.
Right. It requires two things. You walk in the light, and then you have to actually confess your sins.
In verse 9. And it appears, based on comparing 1:7 and 1:9, that if we are walking in the light, then the natural experience is confessing our sins. An illustration that Zane used when I had him in class, he talks about a man with a white suit. And the man with a white suit steps in a puddle or something, and he gets some spots on his suit. Well, he can see a couple of spots on the front of his suit, and he acknowledges those spots. He confesses, oh, wow, there's some spots. And because God is good, God instantly cleanses those spots.
Mm-hmm.
But he's unaware of the fact that on the back of him, there's also spots on his white suit.
Right.
But as soon as he acknowledges the ones he sees, all of them are cleansed. Not just the ones on the front, but the ones on the back. So as we're walking in the light, the blood of Jesus has an ongoing cleansing effect. And of course, as we talk about confession of sins, that's part of it. You know, haven't we all walked around in darkness? For example, 5 weeks ago, Sharon was off visiting a friend in Arkansas, so I was by myself that night. And it came time to go to bed, and I turned out the last light in the living room, and I was headed toward the bedroom, and I kicked a little ottoman on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And I just smashed my number two toe. And I was jumping around, screaming, yelling. It hurts so much. It still hurts. I still have two toes taped together 5 weeks later. Why? Because I was walking in the darkness.
Right.
Literally, when I walk in the darkness, I stumble. And when I walk in the light, I don't.
Right.
And John uses that metaphor.
Zane Hodges wrote this, all right? Yet we can walk in the light. Basically, therefore, to walk in it is to walk exposed to anything and everything that the light makes visible.
The light reveals to us both God's nature and character, and it also reveals to us things that could cause us to stumble.
So long as you're putting yourself in position to be surrounded by the Word of God, the light of the Word of God, then you're putting yourself in a position of being able to be taught and changed by the Holy Spirit.
Right, and I might end with this. You'll remember Jesus said in John 3 that men often shrink back from the light because it exposes their deeds. Well, that's true of born-again people. If we go to church, we're going to be exposed to the light, and there's going to be uncomfortable moments. And when those uncomfortable moments come, well, then we should confess those, and God uses that to change us. So stay in the light that is God's revelation, and God will continue to cleanse you and to transform you.
A big thanks to Sean and Bob for that great discussion about this important subject, living in the light. I know that I want to live in the light, and if you want to live in the light as well, I would highly suggest you get a copy of this book. It can really help you make sense of these concepts that we're talking about in this series. What book, you say? It's the book that carries the same title as the series. It's called The Six Secrets of the Christian Life by Zane Hodges. Now, you can get it on Amazon or where you buy books, but what I would like you to do is to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, you can get your very own copy. Now, here's why I want you to come to the website, because we've got lots of other free resources for you. You can get subscribed to our free magazine. You can get a free subscription to our daily blog posts or our podcast and much, much more. We want to help you grow through the materials that we make. So I hope you'll join up with us. Come to the website, faithalone.org, and get subscribed to these resources. Now, in addition to this, you might be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can also figure out how to do that on our website, faithalone.org. Next time on the broadcast, we're going to be talking about how to get a yes answer from our prayers. So tune in for that. It's going to be an important one. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.